a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
To hear the word of the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity again to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching ministry minister to us, meeting us in the text and tailoring the truth that it reaches each of us right where we are. And then inform us, give to us the knowledge that you desire us to have, that we might practice these principles and profit from them, thus giving you the praise. We ask. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, for it is the word of the day as it relates to us understanding our personal ministry of evangelism, each member reaching out to someone, sharing the love of Christ with them. In this verse, we will find some helpful holy hints as to how to be a worthy witness, a worthy witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in God's presence. I want to talk about a worthy witness. I've said before, I'll say it again, this is one of the areas I do believe that the enemy has hoodwinked, has fooled the believer, has scared the believer into not sharing his or her faith, undermining the power that lies in an effective witness. If the enemy can keep you from sharing Christ with others, he keeps you from sharing that witness that could save somebody else's life. This is an important word today, especially as we look at every member evangelism. It's not just the preacher's job, the minister's job, the teacher's jobs, the missionary job, others who are assigned to different ministries in the church to witness, but it's a every believer's job to share Jesus with somebody else. And one of the things that you're going to note is as Jesus is speaking to the disciples and others here. In verse 7, he talks about it being only in the authority of God to know the times and to know how and when things will come to an end, etc., etc. And he uses a word called power at the end of that 7th verse, which in the root etymologically speaks of the word exousia, which is authority or jurisdiction. But in verse 8, he uses the word power again with a different primitive etymological root meaning, which means or comes from the word dunamis, which is the same root word that we get dynamite from, which means explosive and the ability to change. This power in verse 8, but ye shall receive power, is the ability to change things and things be different when you as a spirit-filled believer do what he or she has been anointed to do. Dynamite, I don't care where you are, if you set it off, it's gonna change things. It's the power, the ability to change, to recreate, to do things so that when it has had its effect, it will not be the same again. When a believer witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, the life to whom he or she witnesses should not be the same again. Now, power, say power. Now, there are three things out of this word in this context that I want you to hear and understand so that the next time that you witness, you'll witness with power. First of all, Jesus is making clear, but ye shall receive power. Well, when am I going to receive it, Jesus? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So if the Holy Ghost is not present, then you cannot have Holy Ghost power.
All right.
And if you can't have Holy Ghost power, then you cannot have Holy Ghost effects. And so some people are trying to have Holy Ghost effects without Holy Ghost power. And Jesus said, this kind of power you're going to have once you receive the Holy Ghost. And that's why so many of our churches are filled with a whole lot of hype and a whole lot of fluff, got a whole lot of noise, a whole lot of hand raising, a whole lot of foot stomping, a whole lot of hand clapping, but don't have a whole lot of substance because it is not filled with the Holy Ghost. And there are just some things that cannot be changed except it be changed with dunamis power. Holy Ghost power that changes things. Listen, when you have that kind of power, number one, with that power comes excitement. Excitement. Why excitement? Because, listen, it changes things, it rearranges things. Things are no longer the same in the presence of this kind of power. Jesus had an authentic and attractive ministry. Everywhere he went, it was exciting because everywhere Jesus showed up and demonstrated his power, things changed. People went to meetings expecting a blessing, expecting a change, expecting something exciting to happen. They got up walking many miles to be where Jesus was because they knew something exciting was always going to show up where Jesus was. And that same power Jesus had, he left for us, so that we too can demonstrate that kind of power on his behalf. Yes. Listen at this and understand this. The excitement that comes with this power is not of you, it's in you. Yes. In other words, you can't create nor recreate this kind of power. It comes only from the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, so that means he can do some things that the devil himself can't do. And it's an exciting life one lives when every day they choose to walk in the authority of the Lord, the power of the Lord, to demonstrate for Jesus Christ, a witness that is worthy of him, and that power is present to do just what the Lord empowered you to do. Listen at this. Not only is there excitement in that power, because listen, when that excitement is present, the person who is speaking through that power is exciting. You know, you ever hear them boring Christians who just don't get excited about nothing? Just ain't got no joy and no nothing. And they got nerve enough to want to get in front of folk with them boring presentations and no power, no life, no nothing. And they wonder why folk don't want to hear that. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the combination of spirit and truth makes up for an exciting time. Because that excitement comes in the word, and the word through the Spirit of God stirs you up. And that's Jeremiah. If you got any word in you, and even when you don't feel like having church, when that word gets stirred up in you, you cannot stay. You can be mad and ugly as you want to be with somebody, but if the Holy Ghost starts moving, something's going to happen on the inside. And I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it. I wish I had a helper today. To myself. So not only is it exciting, but it gets folk excited. Woo, we had some church today. Because the Holy Ghost stopped by. No, he was already there. He just got in some folk and stirred up some folk that were able to allow him to do what he does best. Yes. And that's lift up Jesus. Uh-huh. But not only is there excitement in this power, but there is engagement. It gives us the ability to engage others in conversation about Christ. You see, a whole lot of us know what to say. We just don't have the power to say it. We're scared to speak to someone we don't know and say, do you know Jesus? If you were to die today, do you know heaven is your home? We don't know how to engage folk and find out if they've been bought with a price. If Jesus is their Savior and their Lord, we don't know how to engage them. But this power gives us the unction to engage folk.
Yes, sir.
I was just sitting there minding my own business, and the Holy Spirit asked me to ask you, are you saved? I don't care how they may be looking, how they may feel, what appearance the outer man has. When the Holy Ghost tells you to say something, you ought to say something. You're not worried about being rejected, because you don't want to reject the one who saved you. And it was somebody that God used to save you. And it is you through which he wants to use his power, his word, his ability to save others. So engagement comes with this word power. And lastly, the word effectiveness is the end result of this kind of power. You see, when the Holy Ghost is upon you and you are using his power, then you are going to be effective.
Yes, yes.
You set them feelings and emotions aside. It ain't got nothing to do. It's about faith. It's about walking and talking and speaking according to the word of God. Jesus said this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Listen, my job is to lift him. His job is to draw. And if they don't want to be drawn, then they will be driven, but they won't be the same after they hear an anointed witness. Their spirit will become convicted. They will have a restlessness and a peacelessness, now knowing that they have an opportunity to change their life and to change their ways and to turn from darkness into his marvelous light. And now if they choose not to accept that, then it's on them.
Yes,
And they reject him rather than you reject him by not telling them what he told you to say to them. Doesn't really matter if they don't accept it and you've done your part, because you can't do no more than your part. Your prayer is, your hope is, your desire is, they would accept him. But you can't make them do that. So he releases you after you do an anointed part, which is to witness in a worthy manner. With excitement, with engagement, with effectiveness. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters, I think I need to tell you. You need that kind of power. To truly be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because whether you know it or not, every day across this land, this country, our world, there's court being held on Jesus Christ. Men are trying to prove that he isn't who he say he is. They're trying to discount and disprove that he is the Son of the living God. They're trying to act like Jesus was just a prophet and just a man, but he is and was and always will be the only begotten Son of God. And isn't it good to know when you go on your job and the court is in session on Jesus, that if he ain't got nobody else, and then the Holy Ghost say, I call my star witness, and that happens to be you. Sometimes you're the only witness the Lord has. And listen, my brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be good to know that you can stand in the power of his word and say, yes, sir, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I don't want you to be fearful, because you don't have to be afraid, first of all, if you have a relationship with him. And then if you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, he will give you in that same hour what you need to say. As a matter of fact, don't be fooled, don't be tricked. Listen, because after the defense attorney says what he has to say, he lets you loose to the prosecuting attorney. And the prosecuting attorney always comes to cross-examine. But whenever he comes to cross-examine, it's always to cross you up. But when he tries to cross you up, something ought to go off in your brain. Cross, cross, it was at the cross. The cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart. I wish I had a witness. You don't have to worry about being crossed up when you're a star witness for Jesus, because all you got to do is talk about what the Lord has done for you, where the Lord has brought you from, how he fixed it when you couldn't fix it yourself, when you didn't have two pennies to rub together, how he put food on your table, how he kept a roof over your head, how he put clothes on your body, how he healed you when you're sick, how he loved you and rocked you when you got weary. I'm talking about Jesus. If you're talking about Jesus, he's a friend of mine. I wish I had a helper. It ain't hard talking about Jesus.
It's not hard.
Listen, I got two more points. Sit down. And so you move on from the power to the purpose. Because he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And here comes the purpose. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's the purpose for the power. You see, the Lord didn't just give you power to have power. He gave you power for a purpose. The purpose was to be a witness for him. To do for him what needed to be done in the spirit realm required spiritual power. And the Holy Ghost would be the one who would give you that power to witness with authority, with strength, with excitement, with engagement, with effectiveness. And when you talk about Jesus, not only do you talk about him being prophet, priest, and king, but when you talk about him as a witness, you then introduce to the court the personal experiential reality of knowing him for yourself.
Yes, sir.
You see, that there are just some things you may not know about Jesus. And see, when you are a star witness, you are an expert witness, the questioning is usually limited to your field of expertise. When they call a forensic expert, they usually limit the questioning to the field of forensics. Yeah, when they're calling someone else who has an ability or an expert in that field, then they limit that questioning to that field. And then many times he'll have to say, now can you break that down in layman's term? When they start expressing and explaining how that works technically, so. But when it comes to you, you are an expert witness experientially. In other words, you can really tell them about what you really know. You remember when the blind man had received a healing from Jesus and they tried to trap Jesus, tried to trick Jesus, tried to get folk to talk against him, talking about he was a blasphemer, he was a deceiver, and all of that kind of stuff. And when they went to the man, they said, can you tell us about him? He said, listen, I don't know nothing about all that other stuff you were talking. All I know is I was blind. Now I see. So I can tell you, he's a healer. He'll give you sight back. I know something about that. And everybody Jesus touched, healed, delivered, listen, told somebody else. Why do you think the crowds grew from town to town? Because somebody who had heard what he'd done for them was telling the story to others. And I got to tell you, the have-nots hang out with the have-nots just like the haves hang out with the have. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so when the have-not come back to say, listen, I just wanted to let y'all know I have to withdraw my membership from the have-not club because I have now, but I do want to tell you the man that gave me mine can give you yours. And I heard he's gonna be in the little town next week. And folk would come from miles around to be where Jesus was because they knew something was going to change, was going to be different. When you read the text and you understand the man, the Gadarene, who was filled with demonic spirits, had been delivered by Jesus, now sat before him clothed and in his right mind, used to sometime fall in the fire and fall in the water. He would scream and live among the dead, cut himself, all because demonic activity filled him with that ungodly activity. But Jesus stopped by and delivered him from those demons. And about 2,000 pigs were feeding on the mountaintop. And they begged to go into the pigs. And they left out of that man and ran into the pigs and ran down violently so the hill and drowned themselves. And that man was told to go home and tell everybody about Jesus. But I want to tell you, on his way home, there was a woman coming up the road who had been from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor, spent all that she had. And when she saw this man and he was rejoicing, he said, listen, I want to tell you about a man named Jesus. Like, woman, you don't understand. I was hopeless without help. Nobody, I didn't have a friend, nobody to talk to, nobody to share my pain. And the woman started telling him about her problems. And he said, listen, if you can just make it to Jesus, I know Jesus will make everything all right. And that woman started saying to herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And she kept telling herself that. And when she finally saw Jesus, she did not make an appointment to sit down and have a consultation with Jesus. She didn't even go to Jesus to complain about the doctors who took her money and didn't give her no healing. She just said, I'm going to touch his hem, and that's going to be it. And she stooped down, and while he was talking, she reached there and grabbed the hem of his garment and felt the virtue leave out of his body into hers and healed that stream of blood. And Jesus said, whoo! Somebody touched me. And looking at the more faithless disciple, what you mean somebody touched you? Everybody touching you. Nah, somebody touched me with a finger of faith. They wanted something from me, believed that they would get it from me, and they got it. And that's how the witness kept spreading and people kept hearing and getting delivered, because somebody opened up their mouth and told them about Jesus. My last point, and we're going on home. Not only is there the power, and not only is there the purpose, but then you've got to know the place. And he says, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He starts off locally, expands regionally, and then ultimately ends up globally. In other words, what he says to us is, start where you are. Start right here in Jerusalem. That literally means in your city, in your town, in your village, in your hamlet, in your house, in your neighborhood, on your job, in your school, in the marketplace, in your relationships, in those things that you have concentric contact in. You start where you are. Maybe your ministry has a full-time vocation is not a missionary. To be called to some foreign land to mission, to do mission work or to witness about Christ. Maybe you've never gone out of your own state or even out of your own city, but you can still be an effective witness. And when you know that what you have to say has the power to change lives, then the Lord will use you right where you are. Sad is the preacher who thinks he can only preach from a pulpit. Because I'm going to tell you, some of the best sermons I ever preached, I wasn't in a pulpit. If there's real preaching in you, the preacher will come out when it's preaching time. And it might be around the corner. It might be in somebody's home. It might be at the barber or the beauty shop. It might be wherever there is a need for the word of the Lord. And somebody needs to know, is there a word from the Lord? And you don't have to wait till they get to church on Sunday morning to be saved. It can be there, right there, where the difference is made. Brother, my sisters, to be a worthy witness, you need to realize, my brothers and sisters, that God can use you wherever, however he chooses, within the confines of your own personality. You don't have to change who you are, because it is rather who